from the West Australian, Steve Butler, who was lucky enough to witness the Commonwealth Games opening ceremony last night. Morning, mate. How was it?
Oh, look, it was quite spectacular. I was sitting right under Prince Charles's chin, actually.
That where you were? I missed you.
Pretty dodgy place to be, but you know. The Duchess of Cornwall seemed to be very interested in the program most of the night.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could have given her an elbow.
In the paper-produced type. And it was quite funny when Peter Beattie announced her and welcomed her to Australia. She was seen on the big screens flicking through her program, so that was quite entertaining. But
I thought she was looking through the West Australian, mate.
Yeah, so I thought it was a pretty good presentation. Actually, $26 million opening ceremony, and look, there's always going to be the haters, and I think it always does go a little bit too much into saving the world and world peace, these types of things. But outside that, I thought it was a great journey back through our rock and roll soul and a bit of our culture, Indigenous culture.
What's the feel like at the Gold Coast right now? Is it that peace message spread along and everyone's all happy and holding hands?
I think there's a bit of that, although, you know, we've seen some protesting and a few other little bits and pieces, and, you know, that always happens. And we've seen some syringes found near the Indian camp in the Athletes Village. We've had some sexual assault claims in the Mauritian camp. There's a bit going on, but the Women's Triathlon is about to start, so that's in Southport, and it's just about to get underway, I think, in any minute now. So the games are away in earnest, and, of course, the swimming starts with a bang today, and I'll be out to the cycling to the Anamir's Velodrome to see WA's own Sam Welsford win a gold medal, hopefully, and maybe even break a world record in the team's pursuit.
Yeah, let's hope. Hey, what's the big standouts for today that everyone should be watching?
Oh, I think that's it. I think that really this team's pursuit team out of the Anamir's Velodrome tonight's the one. Obviously, the 4x100 metres freestyle for the women always sets a bit of a scene for the swimming, and if we win the gold, that really could kickstart us into action. But the Campbell sisters are involved there. Brianna Throssell, the WA swimmer, won't be, which is a bit disappointing. She's decided just to concentrate on her individual events, which I find a little weird given the fact that Australia are probably favourites just about to win the gold. And then, of course, we've got our own Blair Evans in the 400 metres individual relay, a really gruelling event, and she's a veteran of the team, and she's, you know, sensational to see her back here. So the swimming's the big thing. The cycling's definitely right up there with about six medals up for grabs tonight, and the men's and women's triathlon should be spectacular. Of course, we see the English brothers, the Brownlee brothers, get back into action this afternoon here on the Gold Coast.
Excellent, mate. Well, thanks for the recap, and have yourself a good time there, mate. I'm jealous.
Oh, look, how could you not, Al? I'm in Beach Babe and Bogan Heaven.
Thanks, Butts.
See you, mate.
What started with a Facebook page of why I hashtag Visit Collie has blown up into a full-blown website. I have one of the people involved on the line right now. Kim, thanks for taking some time out chatting with me. This looks like a labour of love.
Yes. So far, we've done it all voluntarily because we love doing it.
Absolutely. Now, talk me through some of the stats. It's been running. How long has the Facebook page been running for?
It's been going for about 7 months now. And since we started, we've gained about 120 new followers every week. And most of those people don't live in Collie.
Yeah, okay. So you guys are killing it then, tourism-wise.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? The page reaches about 100,000 people every month, and about 40-odd thousand people are engaging with the page, liking it, sharing it, leaving a comment or something. It's huge.
Yeah, that's really, really exciting to see. Collie, I think a lot of people are probably unaware of just how beautiful the region actually is, and it's great that you're out there promoting it.
Yeah, look, Collie has got some absolutely outstanding natural attractions. We've got Wellington National Park, the dam, Leonard Drive, Honeymoon Pool, Potter's Gorge, the campsites, heaps of camping spots and swimming holes around Collie, some absolutely stunning scenery. Most people know about Black Diamond, but what they don't know about is we've got an even bigger and better blue lake called Stockton Lake, which is gaining popularity as well.
Yeah, and I guess that's all thanks to your page or pages like yours.
Yeah, I think so. Social media is really huge at the moment in sharing information, and I guess we've just sort of tapped into that.
Now, you've taken it to a whole new level as well by launching a brand new website. I imagine a lot of the stuff you'd find on the Facebook page you can find on the website as well.
Yes, we've transferred a lot of the old Facebook page stuff across to the website because Facebook is really difficult to find older posts.
You know, yes. You
scroll down for ages, whereas now, the second page of the website is a lot about old Facebook posts, so you can just go there and find them easy. Gradually as we add new ones, it'll just become an encyclopedia of Collie.
Excellent. Well, people can find out more information on the website, visitcollie.com.au, or the Facebook page, why I hashtag visit Collie. Thank you for the chat today, Kim.
Thanks. great talking to you.
Trends, brands, advertising. Marketing man Barry Urquhart
on Triple M.
And I've got the man himself on the line, Mr. Barry Urquhart. How are you, mate?
Alan, I'm full of expectations.
Expectations.
It is one of those days where the sun has come up from the east and I am hoping that I will see a sunset in the west this afternoon.
Yeah, you do have quite a busy Thursday ahead of you, mate, jumping out of a plane pretty soon.
Yes, indeed. I'm about to speak to some around 100 appointed and elected members of local government from the Wheat Belt, telling them what they can do with small cities, big dreams, and transitioning regional economies. And to do so, I'm telling them that they've got to be bold, daring, and different and take a risk. So the symbolism is that I've decided that I'm going to show them that I'm prepared to take a risk to make the point. And in about half an hour's time, I'll jump on board a plane, climb to 14,000 feet, and do a tandem parachute jump to just make the point that, hey, he has arrived and he's making a statement.
Yeah, that's one way to make a statement, mate.
I hope I get their attention.
Yeah, well, you've certainly got ours, mate. So good luck to you. I wouldn't want to be doing it, but you know what? You're a different man than me. Sounds like a braver man than me as well. Hey, let's touch a little bit on this today. When it comes to businesses, and they're looking for, I guess, working with groups as opposed to working as by themselves, just a bit of advice in regards to that.
Yeah, small businesses feel as though they're exposed, vulnerable, and they are looking for support. They're turning to associations, and unfortunately, the associations are saying, we're being very active, walking the corridors of power, talking to politicians and ministers of the government and that sort of thing to try and influence what it is all about. So consequently, you know, it's where is the value, where is the advantages and benefits of membership of associations? And it's a very interesting situation. Members are wanting a contribution to improving cash flows and profitability now, and if they're not getting it, as many as 15% of them are not renewing membership of trade and professional associations.
Okay, so, yeah, you just want to see some evidence, I guess.
Exactly. It's kind of, what is your key performance indicator? What can you do to help me? You know, how associations have in the past set up or purchased registered training organizations, but they're saying that that can be, you know, entry level, it can be long term, it can be a 2 or 3 year course. What we need is some immediate increment in turnover, profitability, and customer accounts. So I think it really is a whole situation where everyone is having to reassess and recalibrate exactly where their primary activities are, and associations need to be at the forefront of saying, here is something that our members can do to improve their relationship with existing, past, and prospective customers.
Yeah, and this isn't something that you could just broadly give advice to. This is a case-by-case kind of thing, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, a lot of people are saying, well, advertising, you know, it's not working. 93% of people don't believe in advertising, but radio stations like Triple M can say, well, hold on, it's a little bit like being in business is like winking at a girl in the dark. You know what you're doing, but no one else does. So associations and radio networks have got to come to the situation, not necessarily be selling advertising to prospective clients, but saying, this is how you can utilize radio to get the benefit of a brand, because brands enable you to get onto the shopping list. And when I speak at seminars and conferences, as I will be today, a lot of people say, inevitably, if I could speak to more people, I could sell more product. So the consequence is, it's not about closing the sale, it's opening the door, and radio stations like Triple M have got a very big role to play, because like associations, they can generate interest, customers, and revenue.
Excellent. Barry, thanks there. Hopefully some people have taken something away from that. Barry Urquhart there, the Managing Director at Marketing Focus. Thanks very much, mate, and good luck with your jump.
Looking forward to it, Alan. I hope I will speak to you next week.
It's the food you grew up with, the food that moulded you, the food that gave you those love handles. It's your Local Eats.
Yes, and we love a bit of Local Eats. Danny Drummond with us, mate. How are you this morning?
Mate, cracking along beautifully. And I'll tell you what, the food we grew up with, this is it.
Yeah, this is. So where did this recipe come from?
My mum. My mum used to cook this for me when I was a kid. Uh-huh. Fantastic.
Well, I just had a taste of it, and I agree. It is really, really good.
Scratchatella.
I'm going to roll it.
Scratchatella. Strings of ribbon sort of thing in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful soup. It nearly got a new name on the way to work this morning.
Okay.
I heard you talking about Cliff and the Corellas.
Yeah.
And I tried to catch one. I was going to do Corella Teller. I couldn't get one. So we've gone.
Well, 2 points. Well done.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't do that, to be honest. No, but this is fantastic. So for a soup, I guess, it's got so many different textures. It's comfort food, isn't it?
Comfort food, 5 minutes to put together. And again, it's one of those things, if you keep a good Campbell's chicken stock in the cupboard, in the pantry, you can do this in 5 minutes. Super
really?
Easy. You need a couple of eggs, a bit of parsley, some nutmeg, chicken stock, parmesan cheese, done. Super easy.
Danny, you talk about comfort food, mate. This must be absolutely fantastic coming into winter.
Oh,
and
mate.
Also, if you're having one of those days where you're ill and you need a bit of soup, this must be absolutely perfect.
Toast with it. You've got to have toast with it.
Yep.
So we've gone with a really nice loaf of bread and just put olive oil on the bread instead of butter.
Oh, that's what it was.
I tell you what. It's not often I have brekkie with you guys, but I couldn't help it this morning.
Yeah,
I had to
we're
get
all
myself
sitting down.
A bowl.
Just three grown men sitting around having that's a bit it. Of soup. There
well,
you go.
Well, that's what blokes do.
That's you know, that's it.
Shit, but yours is already gone.
Yeah, well, I was hungry.
Well, you smash it. I feel bad. Like I am enjoying mine, but I didn't smash it as quickly as that. Hey, something else I want to talk about. We did touch on it last week. End of harvest coming up for you as well.
Yes.
That's going to go off at the Wombul Brewery.
Look, we've got all the wineries up there that are going to join us up there, and we're going to have a feast. Pig on a spit.
See, here's the thing. When most people say feast, you go, oh, yeah, it'll be a bit of a spread. When you say feast, that concerns me.
Oh, look, yeah, I'll have to get a second mortgage out for the amount of food I'm going to buy for this thing. We're going to do Brazilian barbecue. We're going to do pig on a spit, butts of beef, wood-fired pizzas. We're going to have those for the people who want something a little bit simpler.
Yep.
But it's going to be a wood-fired barbecuing beast.
Yeah, sounds
That's
like
what it'll
it.
Be.
People want tickets. How can they get those?
Just ring the Wild Bull Brewery. You've got the number there. I don't even know the number. Can you help me out?
Do I have
that?
The number here? Oh, there. Wait, no. Oh,
for
there
bookings,
it is.
Yep. 97280737. Again, 97280737.
Or you just That's look one. Up Wild Bull Brewery on our Facebook, and the number's on there as well. Probably the best way to get through. But yeah, mate, it looks like it's going to be a pretty exciting event. We can start prepping for that. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll do this all again next week. Feel free to do more soup. Jeez, I'm loving it. I'm going to go enjoy it now. That plastic bag ban that is coming in on June 20th, well, it appears that some supermarkets have started it just a little bit early. None in the southwest as of yet. In Perth-wise, but Coles Inglewood have done it. Singleton for Woolworths, South Fremantle and Cottesloe. So they are beginning to trial it. It does come formally into effect on June the 20th. Don't be too surprised if it starts a little bit earlier than that. A couple of different tactics they're going to be doing. Obviously encouraging you to buy those canvas bags, those cloth bags. But another option, which I was pretty surprised to learn about, is they're going to be selling plastic bags still, but those thicker plastic types for 15 cents. So it could be costing you in that regard as well. I've got Lydia from Margaret River on the line. Hey, Lydia, how are you?
Good. Now, why don't people just use cloth bags?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. That's what I thought was going to be the thing. Like, because I bought a couple of them.
You'd be amazed how many people still believe that some of those plastic bags are totally biodegradable.
Oh, exactly. But how surprising is it? Because I was literally reading that story, and they're going to still sell the big, thicker plastic bags.
But that's worse.
Yeah, that's what I think. Isn't that what, like, they're doing that, I guess, under the belief that people are going to reuse those? No one's going to reuse those.
When I went overseas, right, we went to Ireland and we had to buy a cloth bag because they didn't have plastic bags. And the thing is, we remembered that the next time we went to the shop, we either had to buy another cloth bag or we just bought it with us.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been using cloth bags for years.
Yeah, when I remember, I use them. Sometimes I do forget, not going to lie.
Well, I have a couple in my car, and I've got a couple at home.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, isn't it?
Not hard.
No, not as hard at all. Thanks, Lydia, for your call. You got a thought, 132710. We'd love to hear it. But yeah, expect that June 20th to come about, where plastic bags, you won't be just getting them for free. You'll have to pay the 15 cents for that big, thicker plastic bag. Or, like Lydia just said, use a cloth bag. It's not hard.